It was called the 20th Day Plot, July 20th Plot. It was part of the Valkyrie movement to overthrow Hitler. And after that plot failed, Hitler felt invincible. And he felt that he had been spared for this higher purpose. And he became even more of a madman than he was before. And he started tracking down all the people that he could that were part of the plot to overthrow him. And he looked everywhere for anybody who had been against him at any time. And his search led him into a prison, the Tegel prison. There was a pastor that had been imprisoned in the Tegel prison because he had been part of a group of people that had smuggled 14 Jewish people out of Germany into Switzerland. And this man's name was written on a document of the people who had been part of the coup to overthrow Hitler. And so Hitler decided that he was going to terminate this man. This name of the man was Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Some of you may have heard him before, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Now you're probably wondering, because I see all these quizzed looks on your face, what in the world does Nazi Germany have to do with the Reformation? We're supposed to praise God for Martin Luther for writing the 95 Theses and posting it on the church door in Wittenberg, Germany. We don't want to talk about 20th century political battles in Germany. But folks, they're linked. They're tremendously linked. Because what was Luther fighting against? He was fighting against a church that was complacent about Christianity. He was fighting against a church that was in power. He was fighting against a people that could care less about what God had called them to do. That was the church that Luther saw and fought against, and that is the church that Dietrich Bonhoeffer saw in Germany long before Hitler became so powerful and thrown him into to the prison. There were many, many pastors that followed Hitler simply because he was the guy that wrote the checks and they kept him safe. He kept them safe. And yet there were a few number of pastors that realized that Hitler was going against the Word of God. And it didn't matter that he was also in charge of the church because of his relationship with the church state of Germany. They knew that this was not a good situation. And so they went and they formed their own little seminary and their own little breakaway group. It was called the Confessional Christian Group. And they realized that they needed a seminary. And so about 5 years before this event on 20th of July, 1944, they searched and tried to find a guy to be in charge of the seminary. And they looked and they found a guy named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was an incredibly strong theologian, a wonderful man, a strong biblical man, and he also wasn't too comfortable with Hitler. And so he took the call and accepted the call, and they started this seminary, and it was in Finkenwalde, Germany. The Finkenwalde Seminary. Now, Bonhoeffer was a lot like Luther. If you know Luther and anything about the Reformation, you know this about Luther. He was a strong-willed man. He woke up every morning and he prayed, and his favorite thing to do was to pray throughout the day the Psalms. That's what Luther did. Guess what? Bonhoeffer was the same way. He would wake up in the morning, he would go into prayer and meditation, and he loved to pray the Psalms. As a matter of fact, the similarities are pretty incredible. So when Bonhoeffer decided to start this Finkenwalde Seminary and brought all these young men in to become pastors, he said, we're going to go back to Luther, and we're going to start praying every morning, and we're going to do meditation every morning, we're going to pray the Psalms. They looked at him like he was crazy. But he said, we're going to do it. And so he started off with them, and they started praying, and some of these men later into their life said that that was such a powerful, impactful thing in their life that they continued that practice long into their ministry, even when other people didn't. There must be something about prayer and praying the Psalms. Because Luther did it because he felt that it was within that praying of the Psalms and the prayer that he got the strength for the Reformation, and Bonhoeffer felt the same way. Because there was an oppressive force in Germany, and Bonhoeffer knew that that Christians needed strength to be able to fight that battle in Germany, and they got that strength from the prayer and the Psalms. After they closed down the seminary, a couple years later, the Gestapo found out about this seminary and they shut it down. Bonhoeffer decided to write a book called Life Together about his time at the seminary and about the importance of Christian community. It was a bestseller, Life Together. And in that book, Bonhoeffer talks about the importance of Christian community and the difference between Christian community and other communities that aren't based on the Word of Christ. Because there are lots of communities out there, folks. We belong to them. Some of you may belong to civic organizations or Boy Scouts or whatever, and there's nothing wrong with belonging with those organizations. But folks, they're not the Church of Jesus Christ. And they don't have the one thing that the church has that all those other organizations don't have. Bonhoeffer would say, if you look at those other organizations, there's a huge difference because they are primarily motivated by emotions, by people meeting their emotional need within those organizations. They go to there and they feel good. But the second thing about those, now they're not wrong organizations by any means, and I'm not saying you should leave these organizations, but they're secular organizations. The other thing wrong with this organization is that they're not based in the Word of God. They're based in law. And you all know this. Some of those organizations that you belong to, you've got rules, and if you don't follow the rules, what happens? You're kicked out. And what Bonhoeffer was saying is that he saw a similarity with that with the church, that the church was basing it too much on rules and not enough on grace. He says, and if you base it on emotion and rules and not the grace of God, the church falls apart and splits apart and the church will not last. A number of years ago, this was probably, 15 years ago, I was doing consulting work with LCEF in the Rocky Mountain District. And I used to have lunch with the guy that was in charge of that. His name was Bernie Braunschweiger. And great guy. And he was telling me a story about a church. He said, this is a church that was growing, it was doing well. The pastor left, they got a new pastor, and the pastor started getting angry with people for all the sin that they committed because they were sinful people. And so every time someone would commit a sin, he would excommunicate them from the church. And so this church started dwindling dramatically. Left and right, people kept, and people would get upset because it's, and so they'd leave, and he'd excommunicate more people, and it just kind of snowballed until finally the pastor was so upset with the whole thing, he left. Three families left in the church, the only three that didn't sin or were able to hide it enough. And Bernie was telling me the story that they decided that they were going to basically close down shop and sell the church. So they put the church on the market, they sold the church, and then they didn't know what to do with the proceeds, and they looked with in the Constitution, and believe it or not, the Constitution of that church said that if the church ever dissolved, the money was going to go to the remaining members. So they each pocketed hundreds of thousands of dollars. Now, Bernie's job was to go through all the churches in the Rocky Mountain District, make sure they didn't have that clause in the Constitution. But that's what happens. That's what happens when an organization comes together under rules and emotion, where you feel like you've got this ideal vision of what a church should look like, and if it doesn't look like that, then by golly, I'm leaving. But Bonhoeffer would say that is not what the church is about at all. Because the church feels, well, we're the royal priesthood, right? We're the wonderful people that God has called, and so therefore we should just be wonderful. But Bonhoeffer would say, you need to look at that verse closely. Let's look at that verse. It's from 2 Peter 2:10, 9 and 10. This is what Peter writes. You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Of course we're great, right? But that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. What marks the church so much is not all the laws, but the fact that we've been redeemed by Jesus Christ. Bonhoeffer would say, when you meet another Christian, you should praise God. Because when you meet another Christian, you are both going to be edified by that experience. Because the faith that is inside of us is always weaker than the faith that is inside another Christian. So just being next to another Christian strengthens your faith. But Bonhoeffer would also say, Christians should live in a true community. Because if it's not a community that's dedicated to God's love and mercy and grace, then when you arrive on Sunday morning, you puff up yourself and you say, I have no sin. Jesus loves me. And Bonhoeffer would say that's a very deadly thing. Of all people, Christians should come in humbly into church and say, I have sinned, and I am part of a fellow group of people, and we've all sinned. And you look at the fellow Christians around you on Sunday morning or the ones that you deal with, and that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And if we keep that in focus, that changes our relationship with other people. We're not longer competing against them. We're fellow sinners in need of the grace of God. And if the church can keep that central to their message, the church will grow. The church will expand. The church will spend God's grace. We are supposed to be a church of the light. Jesus says, I may come so that you may know the truth and know it abundantly, that you may have the truth, and the truth will overcome darkness. That's what the church is all about. And Bonhoeffer knew this. And Bonhoeffer wrote a book about his time together at the Finkenwalde Seminary called Life Together. In the first year that it was printed, it sold out 3 times. And it's on like its 50th printing now. It is an incredible, strong book. So today, we just kind of skipped over or touched a little bit on chapter 1 of that book. But over the next 4 weeks, we're really going to dig deep into what it means to be part of a Christian community. And when we are part of a Christian community, it doesn't matter what the world happens around us, because God will be in that Christian community. And it'll be a Christian community based on His grace and His love. So whether or not it's the Church of Rome in Luther's time or the Third Reich in Bonhoeffer's time, the church will overcome because of God's grace, because of Jesus Christ. In His name, amen. My life before.